The gamers are rising up this week, folks.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
not,
hell yeah.
Not in the way anybody expected.
Well, the thing is, it's you know, when the heckin' hedgerinos are losing money.
That's right.
And it's racist, white, mayo-ass Reddit bros who are also sexist and homophobic that are causing it, that are doing the stock investing. I think that it's problematic. I mean, it's literally fascism to cause hedge funds to lose money.
I think your logic is airtight there, Todd. I think that checks out.
Well, and also it's just funny that of all the fucking hedge funds, it had to be one called Melvin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like just the fucking like worst like dorky white kid name of all time. It's like, yeah, you know what? I think we should fucking pick on Melvin Capital or whatever. Like take their fucking lunch money.
I feel like every hedge fund has some really dumb name like that. It's like something dorky like Melvin, or it's like some weird thing like Orion's Belt or something. It's just some fucking freak who's like, oh yeah, I'm actually pretty powerful because I managed $2 billion, so I'm gonna call this the Astro hedge fund.
Just disgusting. Yeah, and it's because it's the biggest fucking dorks, and it's like the people behind the scenes that are actually doing like all the math and like setting in the back end stuff, they were the biggest nerds in school. And then the face of it are like the fucking finance bro, like think they're Wolf of Wall Street because they kind of just rode their father's money up to a position at a, you know, basically a do nothing job, but just have like drunk lunches and make deals.
Yeah, it's an entire industry based around gambling. It's just like a giant slot machine. And if you're rich, you get to play it and not really lose.
And it's just run by like a bunch of coked up Ivy League jocks who got good grades. And that's literally, that's it. That's all it takes to be like a Wall Street guy.
Maybe they got good grades.
If you can't tell by now, we're very amused by the stuff that's going on Wall Street right now. Basically, Wall Street Bets, which is a subreddit about investing and famous for people just doing dumb shit and losing money because they say things like, fuck you, I will never sell, I can stay retarded longer than the hedge funds can stay solvent, was a really really fun quote. But they've basically decided that GameStop, because it's a heavily shorted stock, which means that a bunch of institutional investors, big, big hedge funds, were like, okay, GameStop's going down. What we're going to do is borrow shares, sell them at a certain price with the expectation that it will go down so that we can buy shares back to cover the ones we borrowed at a lower price later. Now, that's all well and good, and it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a big way that institutional investors manipulate stocks to drive down prices. And more often than not, retail investors are left holding the bag. But these enterprising young Redditors, which I've also been informed are racist, sexist, homophobic, and fascist, have all colluded together to do this extremely illegal act called buying a stock.
No, you can't buy stock. Stop. You're not supposed to do that.
The heckin' hedgerinos. All these Redditors have gotten together and they bought the stock and they caused what's called a short squeeze, where these institutional investors, these hedge funds, were short a bunch of shares of GameStop and a couple other, you know, kind of weird meme-y stocks that don't really like.
Yeah, Nokia was
see
going
a lot
crazy,
of volume. Mm-hmm. I'm holding some. I have a little bag of Nokia.
Oh, very
it's
nice.
It's like cocaine. It's like, yo, I got a little bag of Nokia.
You want some?
It's going
well,
to
it's no wonder that these fucking gamers were like savvy enough with the numbers to manipulate the GameStop stock and like crush this hedge fund, because they have had to do math their entire lives just to figure out how many games they have to return to GameStop to get a new game. And if that's not poetic justice, I don't know what is.
As I've seen now, apparently GameStop store credit is worth more than some fiat currencies. But the short squeeze basically is the GameStop stock going up because all the Wall Street Bets people are buying it, which causes the institutional investors who were short GameStop to have to buy the stock back at a higher price than they sold it for when they borrowed it when they initially went short on it. Mm-hmm. And that causes more demand because there's this thing that happens in Wall Street because there's insanely little regulation that basically institutional investors like these hedge funds can short more than 100% of a company's stock. So there can be more shorts on the market than actual stocks that exist for a company. So when that happens and suddenly the price of the stock goes up, the shorts are squeezed out. And if if they want to close their positions, they have to pay way, way more money than even in the cases of some of these hedge funds like Melvin Capital, the hedge fund even has. So a ragtag group of Redditors has, not even inadvertently, like this was absolutely on purpose, which rules, caused a several billion dollar hedge fund to basically become insolvent if basically they can keep the price of GameStop up through Friday, which is when the short and the options expire. So this situation is developing right now, but it is so fucking entertaining.
So Todd, that explanation was really enlightening, but I'm going to ask you now the question I think a lot of people are asking. Is this good? Who does this hurt and who does this help? Like, obviously this yes. one hedge fund is getting taken out, which is great, but like, what does this mean for the market long term? Is Wall Street going to be able to recover from shit like this, et cetera?
It's really complicated. All right, so I'm not fucking Leo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
We're not doing mad money over here.
Yeah, I'm not Jim Cramer. I don't have a baseball bat. But I will tell you that the repercussions of this will be far-reaching, right? Basically, so it started like this, and then a couple other stocks, Nokia, Best Buy, Bed Bath & Beyond, like a couple of these other retail stocks.
Literally just stores that were popular in the early 2000s.
And yeah. a lot of them going out of business or being like bought and recycled and then sold on to the next capital firm to just gut them. They were also subject to chatter on these forums with even, you know, Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports, a bunch of like random minor celebrities like Ja Rule getting in on the investing frenzy and posting about it. Well, this morning, this is Thursday, this is the 28th of January, 2021, Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, a bunch of these other exchanges just stopped retail investors. We're talking about small, you and me kind of investors. Mm-hmm. They stopped those people from being allowed to trade. And in some cases, we're actually selling stocks for them or canceling their open orders, which like all of the biggest retail investor platforms were doing this. Even Webull, Think or Swim is another one.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one of my more finance savvy friends on Facebook posting like, I should honestly just sue Robinhood for $1 million in potential gains that I missed out on.
So unfortunately, because of the way their terms of services are set up, it's very hard to actually get your money back because they protect themselves. Obviously you sign right. something when you sign up that they can basically do whatever you want because the game is rigged against you. But you ask what the far reaching consequences for the market and for everything of this are. So I am getting to that. But this morning, all these accounts were unable to trade and people were losing money because the object of it is all of the major platforms that retail investors, you know, small investors like you and I, as opposed to institutional investors, trade on, are owned basically by the same people who are invested in hedge funds. So they have a vested interest in preventing these short squeezes from happening. So they used a bunch of bullshit logic. They were like, well, there's extra volatility and shit like this. And they didn't let people trade. They only let people sell and didn't let people buy, even though, you know, the whole point of a short squeeze is to buy to squeeze the shorts out of the market. So only allowing people to sell caused the prices of these securities to tank, of these stocks, which is the goal, which drive the price down so that the shorts can remain solvent. Right. Well, there's currently a war going on, and there's only a couple platforms where you can buy or hold, and it's all fucked up, and it's absolutely market manipulation. The game is rigged. They are cheating you. But the far-reaching consequences are, this is a huge collective experience. Like, think about it this way. COVID, a massive collective experience, which accelerated the alienation of capital to an insane degree that we all experience. Well, this is that in a financial sense. This is like the tulip bulb rush or whatever, like hundreds right. of years ago. Every time that there's this giant gold rush and a bunch of retail investors get involved and they all get screwed, and they lose a bunch of money, they're left holding the bag, there is a massive, massive, massive alienation of regular working people with the financial system. So I think this is excellent. You know, right. aside from Dave Portnoy basically just inciting a pogrom on the owners of Robinhood, which is hilarious, I think that the result of this will be huge, massive alienation of with normal people, with the financial industry, with capital, with institutional investment, to the point where, you know, we could see actual collective action taken across party lines. Like there is anger on both the left and the right side of the culture war.
Right.
Because of this, there's like this whole initiative by the media to paint it as, oh, it's Redditors, so it's fascists. Only racists are investing. But like, there are a shitload of progressive people, liberal people, leftists investing here, and they are just as angry. So I think that if people can put aside their culture war differences of left versus right, you know, it's more obviously more complicated than that. But if people are more angry at the financial institutions that run their lives than each other, it is a net good for progress.
Yeah, well, and like the whole like wringing your hands about whether or not this is bad because Redditors are a bunch of racist dudes is like kind of silly in the first place. It's like, even if they are, and they probably are, like a bunch of Redditors are just racist dudes, but as long as they're attacking big institutions, like don't stop your enemy while they're helping you, you know what I mean? Like, or like however you want to fucking think about it, like you have to be sensible about this and not just like shun entire operating wings of the American cultural, financial, and economic like sectors just because like they don't gel right with your online persona that you're trying to cultivate. Like, that's just fucking silly.
Hey, look, but no Redditor ever called me bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true that like a lot of rich people are going, you know, people who are already wealthy, probably even some institutional investors who were invested in GameStop are going to make a lot of money off of this. But it's also in a weird way, it's like one of the largest like wealth transfers that's even possible in a society as like ossified and corrupt as the United States. Because like if that hedge fund goes bankrupt, they were worth something like $12 billion. And that means that essentially all of that money that they were holding and for extremely rich people ends up in the hands of comparatively much less rich people. In some cases, it's just like straight up proles who have tossed a few hundred dollars onto their phone to gamble on GameStop.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, Todd, the way that you related this to alienation, because I feel like that push to re-alienate everybody from the financial sector is a direct response to the fact that like this moment, this GameStop meme stock event in American history, it was a profoundly connecting moment. It felt very de-alienating. Yes. Like the meme sphere came alive. The memes are fast and easy right now. They're flowing like it's outrageous. And that's also something that they fear, not just the financial repercussions of this, but that your average American might actually care about what happens on Wall Street all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Well, the average American was getting involved, and you're right. They don't, the elites, the financial institutions, they don't want people to have this collective experience. They want everybody to feel alone and alienated and isolated. But the fact that the collective experience was, hey, we can all band together and take on Wall Street. And then, oh, Wall Street changed the rules to screw over the people. I think that that is a extremely radicalizing event. And it will be it'll be interesting to see how they spin this to try and divide and conquer us, like all of the people. I'm talking people on both the left and the right of the culture war, people who are, you know, problematic, people who are reactionary, people who are leftists, everybody who jumped in on this investing thing and got screwed over by these institutions is going to be pissed off for the same reasons at the same people in the same way. And I think that is a really great unifying force. And we're basically going to see a bunch of people get fucking Ted-pilled on the economy.
Yeah, we need, well, or like maybe we need to start a finance union or something like that. That's like fights for the rights of regular people to like get in on this game, or just to shut the whole game. Because I don't even know what the right course of action here is. Like, Wall Street is just so mystifying and such a longstanding institution. The only thing I can think of is like we should probably just figure out how to burn it to the ground. Like, we probably should.
Well, that's a really good point, John, because what this has basically taught people, and I don't know, my theory here is I don't know if this will work, but people think, oh, I can defeat Wall Street from my phone by using an app that's run by Wall Street, like Robinhood or TD or Thinkorswim, Webull, whatever. Webull's a little different because it's located in China, but they still screwed over their users. So people are like waking up to the fact that like, no, you cannot defeat the financial institutions, global capital, by staring at your phone. You can't use their tools. You can't play their game because if they start losing, they just change the rules. The house always wins for a reason, because you're playing in the house. You're playing their game. You're playing by their rules. And if they have control over the game and how it's played and what the rules are, they can just change the rules, change the playing field, change anything about it that they want in order to prevent you from winning so that they win more. That's how, that's the nature of capital. That's the nature of the game, because capital is power. You have none. They have all of it. And that means they have all of the power. So what that means is don't play their game. You don't win by playing their game. You win by exiting the game and taking their power by force, by putting the phone down and organizing with people and going to Wall Street, going, finding the executives of these companies, figuring out where their actual power is held, right?
Right.
You take these people and you, I'm obviously not able to even say what you do to them, but you'd have to get out of the fucking phone, because you're not going to win. You're not going to defeat them using their own playing field.
Let's use an analogy, right? Like, you sit down at the blackjack table and you lose over and over and over again. And this Reddit thing is like, you finally figure out how to count cards, right? Like, you and your buddy or whatever are sitting at the table counting cards, and it's not illegal. There's no rules against it, but they don't like it, and they have the authority. They run everything. So they just come over and kick you out. And it's like, how many times are they going to have to kick you out before you realize the only way to get money out of a casino is to do an Ocean's 11? You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, also, if you work at GameStop or if you work at Tesla or any of these other companies with inflated stock prices, you should start talking about like how you're the workers who created the value in that stock, and you should be the ones who own it, not your CEO or not anyone on Wall Street or whatever.
This is a really big black pill for anybody who was like, you know what? The value of something is how much work goes into it, or the value of whatever. Under capitalism, it's like, no, it's all inflationary and speculatory, and it's all fucking numbers on a ledger somewhere, and it's all bullshit. And the people who haven't realized that yet are, you know, ripe for radicalization to be against capital at this point.
Well, and because people are like asking, they're like, where did all that $12 or $13 billion go? Like, what money moved where? And I'm like, you'll never know. It's all fucking made up, and there's smoke screens cast in front of a bunch of it, and like that shit only exists as a lump sum on like a couple of ledgers in a couple of places for a short period of time, and then it's gone again, because moving that money around is the economy. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a dog and pony show.
Mm-hmm. Look, son, back in my day, you'd wake up and the Fed would have quantitatively eased another $1 trillion into the stock market, so every stock went up. You bought some and then took a nap while you made money. That's hard work.
I mean, we know for a fact that in times where a lot of non-institutional investors suddenly flood into the market, they, you know, there's this constant wealth transfer of retail investors to institutional investors. If you're a small guy and you're just like, well, I'll try and day trade a little bit, you're going to lose all your money and it's going to go to an institutional investor. All right. Yep. That's basically because all it's set up that way. Mm-hmm. You might get lucky. You might be smart and win a little bit. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people like you, and the average person is pretty fucking dumb. So they're going to lose their money, and it's going to be an upward wealth transfer.
It's a mobile
institutional
game.
Investors. So when a lot of people flood in and they lose a bunch of money, and suddenly they panic and they try to sell, in the next few days, who knows? This could fucking crash the whole economy. Can you imagine we're a couple days into the Biden presidency and we're being plunged into a fucking like nationwide economic collapse brought on by people memeing GameStop's stock?
I mean, something was going to happen. They keep kicking the can down the road on everything else that could possibly cause some kind of like rift in American society. So eventually it was going to be the stupidest, most trivial possible option, right? Like that's just what had to happen. That's the liberal way.
Yeah. And you don't have Trump, because under Trump was basically doing what Chris said, pumping a lot of money into the economy to keep it from crashing under COVID. Now there's been a little bit of recovery, but if you look at the numbers, basically the working class lost like $3.9 trillion in assets, in net worth, basically, over the course of COVID, right? And global capital, finance, the banks, institutions like these hedge funds basically gained $3.7 trillion. So they, you know, there's about $200 billion unaccounted for, probably pilfered away by like Epstein style pedophiles, whatever. But like all of COVID was basically a direct transfer of wealth from the working class to the rich in the form of decimating Main Street and small businesses, going out a bit, going out of business. Not that like, you know, a business owner is still exploiting you, but at the end of the day, I would rather be exploited by a small business than by a giant company, because look, divide and conquer. You can defeat or organize a small business a lot easier than you can against like an Amazon or a Google, right? So
basically,
this huge wealth transfer happened, and there was like a light at the end of the tunnel. Like people were like, oh my God, I could, just by putting a couple hundred bucks into Robinhood and buying GameStop, I could take on these giant institutional investors. Then they get hit by this insane like collusion across the board of all of these trading platforms to deny people their ability to trade. Basically, the market is not free. It's only free market for institutions, global finance, hedge funds, institutional investors, whatever. And when the average Joes get on the platform and start trading and actually making money and beating them at their own game because there's strength in numbers, then they shut it down. Then they change the rules. Then there's this mass alienation. That leads me to my next point, which is that they're constructing a narrative that this is fascism. This is somehow anti-Semitic, because like, if you go on 4chan, I've seen a couple posts like this, people, 4chan is anti-Semitic. That like, that's the whole thing. That's one of their things, right? They're a fucking, you know, you go on there, and you see people just, you know, doing fucking insane shit. Racism. Yeah. It's always
they're
been
anti everything.
If you haven't been on 4chan, just imagine an early season of South Park.
Yeah. Now that now there are these blue checks, you know, media speculators, some of them even peripherally related to hedge funds, that are going on 4chan, cherry picking this kind of shit and using it as an example to say, everybody who is trying to make money as a retail investor in this gold rush is an anti-Semite, or that it's somehow fascist. To, because these you know, these hedge funds, they're woke. Capital is woke now, right? And that's the whole thing, because, and you know, a MUFO of mine on Twitter had made this point, basically, that there's this whole thing about railing against anti-idpol leftists. Like if you're anti-idpol, you're not a real leftist, or I don't know, something like that. And it doesn't make any sense, because the people who are like getting accused of being anti-woke or anti-idpol, they're not anti-woke. They're just anti-capitalist, and the wokeness is a new framework that capitalism is using to reproduce itself. When Google says Black Lives Matter, they're appropriating this organic social movement. Like, for example, when Raytheon is like, look at all our gay and lesbian employees. Like, the woke shit is capital reproducing itself. And you can be anti-capital without having to be woke, because capital is woke. All right. And you can also, like, you can also be a fucking progressive person. You can, you know, reject racism, reject homophobia, reject sexism, reject transphobia, and also not just fucking eat up the fake wokeness that capital is throwing at you. You just have to have a critical lens when you look at this shit.
Well, and like, how long have we been dealing with bank commercials that have like pride messages and shit in them? It's like, you should know by now, if you have any level of class awareness, that like, even though oppression based on identity is an absolutely real thing that is structural and absolutely has to be addressed, you can't ever take a corporate institution's word for the way that it's structured or the way that it has to be addressed. That's just outrageous. They're the absolute last people you should be asking.
That's right.
It's like asking fucking Mussolini, like, how do you think I should deal with the racial tensions in my neighborhood? Like,
yeah, especially a fucking bank. Like, of all institutions, a bank, it's like, how many is there any currently existing bank that like didn't allow redlining like 50 years ago or whatever, like,
or steal people's homes in 2008, 2009.
Oh yeah, some of these institutions are old enough that they probably participated directly in the slave trade. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
we know that. Like, a lot of the newspapers that still write today that have these fancy websites are the same ones that were being like, well, if America gets rid of slavery, it could really impact a lot of markets, and we just don't think anybody's ready for that yet. Like, Jesus. it's the same fucking shit that's been going on for at least 400 years. You know, yep. It's like, mm-hmm. it takes moments like this to make people see, right?
Yeah,
it does. And then
yeah,
I see the
absurdity.
I feel optimistic about it. But then I get in touch with somebody like my dad. I haven't talked to my dad about this GameStop thing yet, but I expect that he is concocting a vast array of get-rich-quick schemes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, and trust me, there's millions of Americans out there just like him who are probably
missing
the point
whatsoever.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, it's like, because it's so tempting to watch the line go up and be like, I should buy that. It's only going to go up. Why wouldn't it? And yeah, there's so many people who, I mean, in the same way as there's so many poor people who buy lottery tickets, where it's like, there's millions of people in this country who have essentially no option given to them to have anything but a extremely impoverished life. So as long as they're stuck in an impoverished life and they're in a gas station, they're like, why not spend $5 and maybe I can imagine for a minute that'll be a millionaire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, it's shit's insane.
Yeah.
What else can I fucking say?
It's really wild. This is not the way I expected GameStop to be back in the news, right?
Yeah.
It was a little unusual. I'm surprised they didn't do, like, does Blockbuster still have stock? Can we do anything with that?
I wish, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, it's so funny because when you think about going into it, like, whenever I've gone into a GameStop lately, it's like, they have a few copies of whatever game is hot that you can also just download, and they have a huge wall of Funko Pops, and they have, like, Zelda-themed moleskin notebooks, and they're really desperate to sell you insurance on your new disc game for $10.
Crap.
Yeah, like, they're making their money off, reselling used games, plastic Funko Pops, and then maybe people buying a new video game. So it's
the margin is so much higher on those products than actual video games. I mean, not that like the video game publishers aren't doing fucked up shit, but in a lot of ways, like the video game publishers, like a lot of that money is going to the development of the video game. Obviously, the corporate structures of those various video game companies are definitely questionable, but you know. Like, there is still a lot more money going to that rather than, like, just the reproduction of some capitalist image in a 3D plastic mold made in China.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hate Funko Pops more than anything. Let me tell you why. I was working at a series of beer stores, all owned by the same person, which is illegal in Pennsylvania, but they had a way to get around it. I don't remember what it was.
Nice.
But they kept opening Funko Pop wings. Like, whole rooms in their beer stores. They're like, are you here to get drunk? Why not buy a little bobbly Darth Maul?
That's insane.
Oh, man.
And they did terrible. They did fucking awful. I've been to a few of these beer stores in the last few years. The Funko Pops are gone.
No one wanted to buy a Funko Pop. I don't really know. It's like, it's one thing to have it in a GameStop where huge nerds walk in, but like, I feel like you're just underestimating the fact that most people walking into a liquor store are just some person who like, works at a gas station and is like, well, I need some beer. Oh, what are those toys? Well, my kid doesn't play with those kind of toys anymore, so I'm going home.
Yeah, basically. I mean, well, the thing, did I tell you guys how I used to live? I used to live upstairs from the literal meme of a consumer, like mm-hmm. with two O's. Like I used to live upstairs from this guy who was like, he was just the living embodiment of all of the memes about like these soy humans.
Mm.
Like, I'm sorry to say it, but he was that.
They're kind of chubby, you know? Had a beard, played a lot of video games, and had Funko Pops. 100%.
Like to a T. And I obviously found this extremely funny.
Sure.
because it's like, come on, man. You couldn't come up with your own personality. You just
Just go on the internet for 2 seconds and get some feedback. Like, my God, it's out there.
So I saw this. I saw when he moved out. All right. He loaded an entire van with just his Funko Pops.
Oh, my God.
This is not an exaggeration. And the thing is, like, he's got like I think he's either on Twitter or Facebook or something. He's got like a page where he just every day he'll just post. Like he does scenes with his Funko Pops. Like that's because that's what the it's insane. That's no. That's what their community is. It's so fucking weird.
I didn't know people did that. God.
Yeah. So it's like I never thought those people, those kinds of people existed. They do.
That's worse than bronies. That is worse than bronies.
There's a little crossover with the bronies.
How could there not be? How could there not be? I mean, there's like a, when I was valeting at the hotel, we used to get a lot of people who like thought they were really class. It's like a 3-star hotel, so it's for like people who think they're a lot, you know, richer than they really are.
Sure.
And I got two different guys who came in like not even that nice of cars. Like I'm not a nice car guy, but they weren't like fucking Lamborghinis or Mercedes or anything. They were like, you know, brands everyone can afford, who can afford a car anyway. And they would have like Instagram stickers and shit on the back. And I would go to their Instagrams and they would like wake up at 5 or 6 a.m., take their car to parking lots, take photos with it and post them on Instagram and get like 4 likes. And
they were advertising it on the bumper.
What the fuck?
Man, yeah. So like if you're behind them in traffic, you're like, maybe I could watch this guy vape next to his car. Yeah.
Hey, you like what you see? For more pics, check out the link in my bio. And by bio, I mean my bumper of my car.
I mean, that's the kind of demented society we live in. A lot of people like to talk about like get outside your bubble, and it's important to do that. But you encounter people like that when you go outside your bubble as well.
Yeah, I mean, we live in such a fucking demented, like hollowed out, empty world and country where it's like people try to go outside their bubble. They try to find anything that can spark any kind of passion or joy or community, and all they find is fucking a car, a shitty car, or a Funko Pop, or a cartoon about ponies, and that's like the best option they have to fucking feel anything real in this hollowed out shithole of a country.
Well, yeah,
capitalism offers you to escape the alienation is just pablum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I for one intend to fight back against the Uncle Adamsification of America.
Wait, so John, you're not going to talk openly about depression and anxiety? I think it's pretty important to do that.
No, I crack jokes on the internet. I don't know what the shit you're talking about.
I guess we're not a real Uncle Adam's head.
I mean, the best we can hope for is that this just accelerates the fucking contradictions, that enough people go through this and realize, like, okay, holy shit. I'm now realizing that this whole thing was fucking stupid and, you know, I should have never, you know, bought this crap in the these stupid stocks in the first place, right? That's the only thing we can really hope for.
Yeah. And speaking of superficial contradictions, I wanted to bring up that the Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio had been found out to have secretly cooperated with the FBI and the police, which may not seem like a contradiction to leftists. That doesn't seem like a surprise at all. But hopefully this news will be shocking to liberals and moderates. Ooh.
Man, who are the moderates anymore? I feel like it's just like all 15 people who work at the New York Times opinion board are like, I just want a moderate America. There's at least 12 other people that agree with me.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, who's a moderate anymore? Like a leader of the Proud Boys who cooperates with the FBI? That sounds like a moderate, basically. Yeah, that's me.
He's playing both sides. He's like on the side of the feds. Yeah. He might go for the side of anarchy in the form of Proud Boys riots, or he might go for, you know, conservatism and the feds.
Well, it's just so funny because he got scooped into this because he was under scrutiny for his role in the Proud Boys and the Stop the Steal rally. And apparently, like, the first time the FBI contacted him, he, like, shit his pants and was like, I'll do anything you want. So
that rules.
Pretty fucking awesome. Huge energy and nothing but what I'd expect from a Proud Boy. They said he cooperated with local and federal law enforcement to aid in the prosecution of those running other separate criminal enterprises. So basically, they were just like, hey, buddy, you guys are kind of scaring us with your bad behavior, but we're not really worried about you. Can you help us torch some Black Lives Matter protesters' cars? And he was like, yeah, I'll definitely do that. And then we wonder, we're like, oh, I don't know how these liberal regime, you know, brown shirt alliances keep happening. That seems strange. That seems unusual.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that it's like, there's horseshoe theory, right? If you go far enough left, you're angry enough at capital that you like align with the right, because there's like, you know, right wingers that are like anti-capitalist. But it's like, no, the center is just this one big amorphous blob, right? And they utilize it, like, they're all they're all part of the state apparatus, right? The mm-hmm. the Proud yeah. Boys, like it's all one fucking thing.
Well, and yeah. if they're not, like, in their inception, like, the Proud Boys definitely started as, like, an organic movement, but they get infiltrated so fucking fast because they're filled with people who will meet, they like, meet an FBI officer, and they're, like, stuttering, and their hands are shaking, and their palms are sweaty, and their eyes
knees
wide.
Weak. Knees
weak. yeah. Oh, man, is Eminem in the Proud Boys? That's crazy.
I wouldn't be all that shocked, honestly, but...
That would rule.
No, yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. This
he
is
does
just,
hate Donald
this
Trump.
This is fucking hilarious because it's like, what do you fucking expect? What do you fucking expect with this shit? Like Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys. What were some other like weird right adjacent offshoots? They're all centrists. These are all mm-hmm. centrist organizations. Ammon Bundy is a centrist.
And like, they're all full of like off-duty cops too. That's the thing is like, where is yes. even the line between them becoming like infiltrated by feds and them just... being essentially, I mean, I know cops aren't like technically feds, they're like state feds, but it's like really right. what is the difference? Like how many cops yeah. wouldn't take one yeah. phone call from the FBI and be like, oh sure, we'll do this Gladio on American soil for you. That sounds great.
That's true. Saying that the Proud Boys got infiltrated by like cops in the FBI is kind of like saying cops in the FBI got infiltrated by the Ku Klux Klan. Mm. Like
yeah.
it's all just a big circle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just like 400 white guys passing the same $20 bill around.
yeah. It's those guys. And remember those weird photos where it's like a bunch of guys in a barn eating like chicken cooked in
yes.
Blue Mountain Dew? It's like those guys and they keep passing money
thing?
Around. I think it's just it's an art project. It's just like they're trying to make the weirdest photo shoots possible.
Oh, I got it.
They did a great job. That's one of the most...
They're so strange because they feel so much like a real, like someone discovered a roll of photos somewhere and are like, what the hell is this? What are these guys doing?
It's like a, fever dream.
I love it.
It's mm-hmm. like a Midwesterner who ate too much cheese and drank too much beer and then got a fever and passed out for like 16 hours. Like that's what I think their mind would conjure up. Just like nine dads sitting on some loose hay in the corner of a basement eating like purple chicken and a bunch of like weird sides. It's mm-hmm. haunting.
Yeah. We should make that the episode artwork for this if we can.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's a bonus. Whatever. That's basically who's short squeezing GameStop right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys are in a barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Eating
those
their blue
guys
chicken.
are literally causing institutional investors to throw themselves off of buildings. And it's good.
I mean, what could be better? Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things that are better, but this is good and we haven't had a good thing in so long. It's like, I mean, and that's the other thing. Who knows what the long-term repercussions of this will be? Obviously, like the finance sector, the institutional finance sector is like ready to pump the brakes and like rearrange a bunch of things so that they're in total control of the game again, which is bad. But this is like a great moment for people like tuning in. I do think that also, so... it's going to make a lot of people suddenly have better opinions, but by the same token, it's going to make the same amount of people suddenly have just like the most bizarre opinions you've ever heard. Not even necessarily bad, but just like fucking crackpot financial shit.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to like take away. Like if you are approaching it as like a somewhat rational person, but you don't really have like the economic education and you're not already a communist and you like look at this system and you're like, huh, I guess that's just what happens when rational actors create a market and start trading currency. I guess it just becomes like people are just going to become fucking like warlocks or something and be like, clearly money is the work of the devil and you have to harness the power of Baphomet to get a good price on your stocks.
That rocks. I very much hope that that does happen.
All the weird uncles who tell you like, hey kid, when you're in your 20s, invest in gold, are going to suddenly be like floating around shooting spells out of their hands.
Yeah.
That's fucking baller. I'm in love with that.
Sick. Well, what else we got? What else is going on?
Speaking of shit that's awesome, just tons of awesome shit happening. Ghislaine Maxwell said her jurors were too mayo. She said they were too white.
She said, get this mayo off
capital.
My freaking sandwich.
These mayo-ass jurors. Like, that's insane.
I'm now imagining, like reading one of those court transcripts where people are clearly, like, arguing and talking over each other, and it's, like, Ghislaine doing a black scent, and then the judge keeps on being like, ma'am, please contain yourself. This is not the time. Also, stop speaking like that. Ma'am, stop speaking like that. I don't want to hear that accent. It's terrible.
Ghislaine Maxwell, literally in blackface. Like just doing blackface. Well, that's... Okay, so here's the fucking thing. It's like, this is the new normal. This is what... capital is doing now, evil people will justify their actions with wokeness, because capital is fully like it wasn't really like obvious until the mask off like Biden moment of this fall into this winter, but it's like the woke shit is fully just cover for evil. That is just what it is now.
Yeah, well, in a lot of cases. I mean, like, just pay attention to who's saying it. Like a bank,
yes.
A pedophile, like an international, like incredibly wealthy pedophile. Like, yeah, maybe don't take their side. Like, we've said prison abolition doesn't start with Ghislaine Maxwell. Like, I don't know, jury representation.
I have said that prison abolition starts with Ghislaine Maxwell, but it was like. It was like, I was saying that as a joke, but like, this shit is real.
I know that's, you can't tell a joke anymore. Not because
you really
like,
can't.
Not because like you'll get shut down by the woke crowd. I mean, they'll try, but who gives a shit? But you can't tell a joke anymore because it'll just come true despite you and give you nightmares.
Yeah.
Which is, it's disturbing. I'm on too many medications already.
Yeah, I guess you can expect a lot more of this fucking whack ass, insane woke shit to justify. Mm-hmm. Just heinous abuses of the working class.
Yeah, good to know that if they had ever sent George W. Bush to The Hague, he would have just been like, there's not enough black people on this jury. I want out of here.
Well, like, listen, the fucking actual quote from her attorneys is, the fact that Miss Maxwell herself is neither black nor Hispanic does not deprive her of standing to raise this challenge. Which is like, no, it's the fact that you're a fucking millionaire pedophile is what prevents you from standing to raise this challenge. Are you fucking joking me? Like, this would already be a weird news item if she was black or Hispanic. Right.
Like, it's not really the salient point about her jury. Like what?
Right. But then, like the full abstraction of her just being Ghislaine Maxwell on top of everything. Well, we finally have some shit that's not funny, at least on its face, I guess. So,
it's funny in a dark way, in the way that nothing ever gets better, everything gets worse until you die.
Yeah, real Black Mirror episode hours. Is that still relevant? Can you still do Black Mirror references?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
It's a free country.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Anyway, Instacart is firing every employee who voted to unionize. So they're firing 10 unionized workers in Skokie, Illinois, who were all of the workers at that, particular branch of Instacart who voted to unionize, according to Motherboard.
That's like another thing about playing their game. If you play by their rules, if you just vote to unionize, they could just shut the whole fucking branch of the company down and open it somewhere else. They'll just be like, fuck you, we have so much capital, we can do whatever the fuck we want. That's why you can't play their game. You can't win by playing their game.
Well, sorry. That's why, like, this isn't really related to this article directly, but they're... something called solidarity unions have been becoming more popular. That's technically what the IWW is. But like more of them have been popping up, especially in response to gig work, because even though they don't directly bargain for contracts, it frees them up legally to be able to take a lot more of like what you would think of as political stances relevant to their workers' well-being. And like there was one in Western Canada where their parent company shut down. They were very similar to Instacart. It was like a delivery service. And they kept the union going because they were just like, well, we're still gig workers. We're still precarity workers. And they had become affiliated with the postal carriers of the union in the regional postal carrier union in the area, because it was the only way for them to get officially recognized. So unions are getting really clever, and I think it's really important. But I also think it's really important to be thinking outside the box in terms of what a union or other types of like labor organizations or labor actions might be intending to do, because they have shut down a lot of the traditional channels, with right to work becoming very popular in a lot of states that are trying to attract Silicon Valley type businesses and basically saying like, oh, we can guarantee that we'll only give our workers shitty jobs, and then you can open a shitty job factory in the middle of town and we can like get reelected on that. And it's like, they're even trying to go further than that. I was talking about this on Work Stoppage just this week, where they're like, Wyoming, I think, is trying to institute a law where, since they already have right to work, if you're in a union, every year your employer would have a right to like present you with all the reasons to stop paying dues to your union. And it's, there's just a bunch of like absolute psycho brain shit happening out there.
Jesus. I'm not even sure I knew that Instacart like had employees in the sense that they could like fire them. Cause if you work for something like Grubhub or like Uber or whatever, it's like they wouldn't really fire you because like your employment is just completely like mediated through the app, where like every time it's just like, oh, you're just a contractor choosing to set your own hours. And, we are responsible for none of your costs or none of your expenses or anything.
Right. Well, I think Instacart does classify their drivers as independent contractors, which sucks. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure exactly how the layoff process works with them, but they probably just like blacklist you or make you reapply and then just like prolong the process, because like these tech companies have absolutely zero problem with retaliating against people who are trying to unionize, because the precedent has been set over and over again. Amazon has repeatedly fired employees for trying to unionize. Google has repeatedly fired employees, and like despite all of their social justice messaging, like wildly, you know, disproportionately targeted trans employees and non-white employees in terms of union firings over union organizing. Mm-hmm. And there have been zero fucking repercussions except a few small fines here and there.
I think Amazon is currently like spying on people who are trying to unionize. Like they're basically turning into their own, like, I mean, they already are their own form of the state, but they're just like, before you know it, there's going to be Amazon cops and like an Amazon CIA that awesome. Like
there's already infiltrates. An Amazon intelligence. There's like a branch of Amazon that specifically works with intelligence. And then there's a branch of Amazon that functions like an Amazon based intelligence organization.
I think we talked about that on the show a while ago, that they were like, there was like a job listing for someone that was like basically was wanting someone who had CIA experience to work at Amazon for like investigations.
Yep.
That was very clearly like spying on people.
They hire a lot from Pinkertons. They hire a lot from Blackwater, mostly logistics, not like combatants and mercenaries, but also some of them too. So it's like, you know, pretty mixed bag of terrible shit.
Did you guys see that thing that I posted today about Starbucks? I didn't put it in our episode notes, but Starbucks apparently is doing their annual shareholder voting, where all the shareholders, and this is to Starbucks' credit, they make it very easy for employees to just get Starbucks stock as part of their retirement plan. In the way that a lot of companies do, like a 401k or matching, Starbucks employees do have the option to get stock. It's kind of like company scrip.
I mean, Starbucks's biggest fear in the world is that their employees will unionize. And so they do a lot of little things like this to keep you from unionizing. And then they play up huge PR campaigns about it.
So today, I was sent this video by somebody who works at Starbucks of them looking at the ballot for this shareholder vote, right? And I guess it happens, I don't know if it happens quarterly or every year or whatever, but it's voting for the board of directors, it's voting for some policies, and voting for the bonuses for the board of directors. And under every ballot item, there is a recommendation. Starbucks recommends yes, or Starbucks recommends no. So you go down the entire thing, and it's for every executive or every board member, Starbucks recommends voting yes to reelect them. Starbucks recommends voting yes for these bonuses. Wow. Mm-hmm. Starbucks recommends all these policies. And at the very bottom, there is a item that if you work at Starbucks and you have Starbucks stock, or if you just have Starbucks stock, that you have the opportunity to vote on, and you should vote yes on. Vote no on all the other things. All the board members, all the board member bonuses, all that shit, vote no. All right. And this is what the Starbucks employees told me that they're doing. As basically like a protest. They're voting no on all the board members. The last thing, which Starbucks recommends no on, is more employee representation on the board. Starbucks recommends that you vote no. So if you have Starbucks stock and you get to vote in this thing, vote no on every board member and every board member bonus, and vote yes on more employee representation on the board. Although, look, if you're an employee, you probably have a couple shares. But these people who have thousands of shares, institutional investors, hedge funds, their votes mean more than you because they have more shares than you. So, you know, I'm saying with a grain of salt, you'll never win playing their game, but it's something that you can do.
You want to know who the top five owners of Starbucks stock are? BlackRock, State Street Corp, Magellan Asset Management, Howard Schultz personally, and I don't even know the last one. This list is incomplete, but it's just
making
like
making the shocked Pikachu face.
Yeah, I know. It's like the fact that Starbucks themselves doesn't own enough of their stock to overturn whatever your vote is doesn't mean that there's not enough rich people who own their stock to outweigh your vote. Like, I had enough stock in Starbucks after I worked there for 6 years to sell it a couple of times. And one of the times I was able to buy a shitty car with the money, which is pretty good for me. But that's not the order of that's not the order of magnitude of finance that these corporations operate on. Starbucks is a how many billion dollar a year company? Like, it's
a lot.
They'll just shut you out.
Yep. Yeah, completely.
And they put a smile on it the whole time they're doing it. Like, if you've ever worked at Starbucks, and statistically a lot of people listening to this podcast probably have, you'll know that like every single fucking moment of the day they're trying to shove down your throat what a great company they are and how lucky are to have a service industry job that gives you healthcare and a stock option.
It's disgusting. Yeah, and it's like at least back in the day, if you like worked at a factory, it was like the owner of the factory had an office at the factory and you could go talk to the rich guy who owned the place you work. Now it's like you would have to show up to, what did you say, John? Magellan Capital. And there's just like a thousand VP. It's all been like dispersed into this faceless monolith of huge skyscrapers with like thousands of clones inside of Patrick Bateman. And it's like not any one of them really is like holds complete power over you. It's just like each of them holds a lot more power than you. And all they care about is extracting value from you. And they don't even really see you as a human being.
That's right.
It's pretty dark and pretty bleak. But this next article is also going to make you very depressed. A German city has installed pods. And you know that I will never live in the pod.
Oh,
but
cool.
They've installed pods for homeless people in this German city.
Oh, yeah. I read about these.
In Ulm, 75 miles west of Munich. This is, a technocratic neoliberal solution for a problem of capital. And
yeah, just give them a house.
Yeah, they're not called podless people. They're called homeless or houseless people. They're not fucking podless. They weren't suffering because they don't have a fucking pod to live in, you freaks.
Yep.
It's just so funny. Like, the amount of land that this takes up, you really could put, an economy apartment on that same amount.
Also, like, the fucking economy apartments that they're building, like, all those glass and steel fucking cookie-cutter shit boxes, like, those are technically pods for homeless people, right?
Yeah. I mean, what is a house if not a large, comfortable pod for a homeless person, exactly. You know? But it's like, it's degrees, right? Like, nobody should have to sleep in a coffin with a solar panel on top. Like, that's what this is. It looks like something that, like, a crazy rich person would get in to like tan their greasy skin.
I really like to imagine that if the homeless person stays in the pod for more than allowed 8 hours of sleeping, it just incinerates them and their ashes fall down a chute underneath the pod like a suicide booth in Futurama.
Yeah, I'm also gonna go ahead and guess that there is a relationship between pods and human trafficking. Maybe not these pods, but pods. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, it's just too convenient. It's got a handle and a lock on it already. So
how do we know it doesn't have robot legs? Like, how do we know it won't just get up and like walk you across the border and then it's like, oh no, you accidentally woke up in a foreign country where you have no
that
rights.
That would actually be extremely cool if they gave you a Gundam. They give every homeless person a Gundam. Holy shit.
Oh man, a laying down, a recumbent Gundam? I've never even heard of that.
You're just like inside in one of those, like, you know those gamer chairs where you're lying on your back and there's like a spider arm that like puts monitors in front of your face?
Yeah.
You're just in one of those to see the outside world as you control the spider arms. Yeah, that's what we need.
I mean, things are bleak, but they're going to get even bleaker because apparently Hillary and Chelsea Clinton are producing a series about Rojava, highlighting the girl boss female militants fighting ISIS in that region. It's called Daughters of Kobani. And this is kind of mirroring what the Obamas are doing. This is like, this is how the fucking neoliberal philosopher kings and queens that rule over us are staying relevant. And also, it's a huge money-making grift. they're producing TV series. Like the Obamas are producing documentaries for Netflix, and now the Clintons are doing this. I mean,
And like it's, fucking 10-1 odds that this Clinton thing about Rojava entirely downplays like the Kurdish genocide perpetuated by the Turks, and like totally talks about how totally bad Bashar al-Assad is.
This this is actually just going to be a cat person, but Brace Belden is the guy.
I never actually read that story. I missed the boat on that one.
You're better off.
Yeah, probably.
Just trust me on that.
But yeah, John, you're right. Yeah. It's like more accurate headline would be the CIA is using Hillary Clinton as a prop to develop a female Kurdish militia TV drama.
Exactly right. And they're also capitalizing on the fact that the Kurds in Rojava and really just like everyone in Rojava who was allied with the YPJ, YPG, and all of the, there's a lot of acronyms in that region, but there's kind of a web of association there. And they're basically saying that like, you know, those people are, they're like girl bosses and they're standing up against Syria, and they're also trying to take out the fact that like the PKK originally started as like a Marxist-Leninist organization. Like, I'm sure that will not be fucking mentioned. It's an opportunity to capitalize on the fact that the Kurds were put in a position where they were forced to accept help from the United States. And now the United States is going to take that as license to spin the narrative about this entire incredibly politically complex region with a lot of details that is hard for anybody to keep up on, and turn it into a simple, like, straight to Netflix narrative for America to digest, which is one of the cruelest things that you can do to, you know, a region that has been operating under adverse conditions that we caused, or that our direct allies or client states caused over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it turns out imperialism isn't the highest stage of capitalism. It's doing imperialism and then also making a TV show about that imperialism and profiting off of it.
That's so disgusting.
Lenin didn't know about Netflix. I mean, he didn't know what the next stage was going to be.
Yeah,
Lenin could not have anticipated Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Speaking of incredibly vapid liberalism, Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop was selling a candle apparently scented like Gwyneth's vagina that I haven't even told the joke yet.
If I buy vanilla scented perfume and I smell it and then I also smell some vanilla, I'm like, yeah, it smells similar. How am I supposed to fact check that this smells like her vagina? What if it just smells like somebody else's vagina?
May never get the opportunity, because apparently these candles explode. A UK woman bought
one. That's actually very cool.
And Jodie Thompson, age 50, said that when she lit the candle, it quote unquote exploded and emitted huge flames with bits flying everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. There was an inferno in the room.
How fucking difficult is like candle technology that you would make? Like, I feel like we should have this figured out by now. We've had candles for quite some time. I would think we would have figured out the things that make them explode and how to avoid them, but I guess not.
I mean, with all of the like weird pseudoscience shit that doesn't Gwyneth Paltrow sell the same supplement that Alex Jones peddles, but it's just under a different name and it's like branded for women? Like,
that's the real horseshoe theory, that like you could be a woke white woman who does yoga or an Alex Jones InfoWars freak, but either way you're like, I need this magic sex goop or sex dust or whatever.
Yep. And so like the people who make her products or like sell her products obviously don't have any like standard of quality whatsoever.
Yeah,
so this doesn't surprise me at all. But also you have to kind of ask, was it the things that were supposed to make it smell like her vagina that made it explode?
Interesting.
Well, if so, honestly, if any of our listeners buy this product and do a review, we will read it on the show. We'll read it on the show. I think that'd be very fun.
I still kind of like the idea. I think early on in the show, I was thinking it'd be funny to like buy Brainforce and then like one of us take it and do an episode and see if our takes are especially spicy and hot that episode. I mean, I'm sure it's basically like fake vitamins and then like some caffeine and like amphetamines to just keep you up
so
for a while.
I've been so tapped into this whole like Wall Street thing today that is my brain force.
Watching GameStop stock rise. Yeah. Hey, what's been happening in the last hour? Has anyone's like life savings been wiped out?
Hour.
Yeah, it's currently at 193. It took like a huge spike earlier at like 2 p.m. it jumped up to $400 and then immediately jumped back down to the 200s again.
Well, I mean, if they can keep it above like 100 or like 150 bucks, I think that a lot of those shorts lose their money. So the hedge funds still go under, even though they were bailed out by their other buddy hedge funds. But we'll see. I don't really know.
I was like watching a guy live trade at like, oh God, I don't even know, 8 a.m. this morning or something like that. And it was like hovering around 300. And he was like, if it goes below 300, I'm going to fucking sell. I don't know how much he bought in at, but it seemed like a real white knuckle ride through the world.
The danger
with
a lot of these trading frenzies where like a bunch of people who have no idea what they're doing get into it. It's like, you're going to end up holding the bag. Like, you got into it late, unless you like are lucky enough that you're monitoring the right forums, you're listening to the right people, and you're smart and you get in and out quick or whatever, you're going to lose money. You're going to be holding the bag. That being said, buy, keep the price up. I want to see fucking Wall Street traders jumping off buildings. That's what I want to see. The numbers, they're rookie numbers. Pump those numbers up.
Pump those numbers up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is the closest I'll come to being able to click buttons on my phone and maybe ruin someone's life on Wall Street. So yeah. I'll take those odds.
All right, well, that's Beep Beep. Bryn will be back next episode. She is busy doing music things. What does she usually say? Check out the Twitter at WeedPod. All of our various shows, Work Stoppage,
Left Trigger.
We
got the bonus episodes. John streams on twitch.tv/bppletuspod, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I've been uploading YouTube videos under my full name, so go check those out too.
Oh, yeah. He plays Pokemon Blue. It's a very fun time.
Yeah.
All right. Beep on, y'all.
All right. Bye, guys. Beep.
Refrigerators. that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.